2017. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me today on RBN. Of course, their website is republicbroadcasting.org. You may view the guest lineup for this program at spingola.com. Just click on the radio schedule button and select the year, month, and day. And there are links there for, well, today, for photos and for a book, and I hope that you will click on those links. Anyway, I also invite you to visit ScreamSandyHook.net for articles regarding Sandy Hook, psych, drugs, and related topics. I haven't published much there lately because I am writing another book. Please consider subscribing to SpingolaSpeaks.net, where one may listen to all of the, well, not all of them, but most of the audio files of my programs. RBN is another option, of course. They have great archives. Another option is Woolley's blog, and that is woolleysblog.blogspot.com. If you appreciate the RBN programming, please consider donating to the network. You may do that, excuse me, in one of three ways. You can do it by phone at 800-724-2719 or visit republicbroadcasting.org and click donate, or simply send donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you have questions or comments during the program, you may email them to comment@spingola.email. You can join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by visiting spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the third hour at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Ellen Gottschalk, and she is the author of Into Exile, A Life Story of War and Peace. It's a fabulous book, and she's just a beautiful person. Ellen, welcome.
Thank you. I'm honored to be on your program.
Well, I'm delighted. It's an honor to have you on. And I hope that you don't mind, but I took the liberty of uploading the two photos that you sent to me, and I linked them on today's date on the schedule page because I wanted people to see how beautiful you are and also have an idea of how beautiful it is in Estonia in the springtime. So you sent me two pictures, so I hope you don't mind that I uploaded them.
Oh, thank you.
But I think that people would be interested in seeing who they're listening to today.
So. Super.
Okay. Well, anyway, you wrote I love your writing. I think it appeals to everyone because you write with warmth and feeling, and it's like the reader can just put themselves in your place. And I just really related to the way that you expressed yourself. And there's humor in the book, even though it's not a humorous situation that you're talking about. There's humor, which I really appreciated very much. And the book has won numerous awards, it is very impressive. Anyway, why did you? Well, first of all, Estonia. A lot of people don't know where it is, anything about it. So, tell us a little bit about your country.
Well, Estonia is the northernmost of the three Baltic states. There's Estonia. Well, Estonia is the northernmost. Then there's Latvia further south and Lithuania, and we're right on the Gulf of Finland, and our neighbor is Russia, across a short bridge. And that's probably one of the reasons why we have always been conquered by different powerful neighbors. Until our first independence in 1918. So we are always nervous about the neighbors. But we have also been very, very lucky in many ways because none of them have stayed too long. Perhaps the longest were the Germans, well, the Baltics, the traders. And then, of course, we had Russians now for 50 years. And yet Estonia has managed to survive. We've kept the language, we've kept the traditions, and we are free again, and once more we thrive. So it's a very strategic kind of place because it's also at the end of what used to be called the Silk Road. Everybody has wanted to have access to the Gulf of Finland, and that is how we had this history of constant conquerors until 1991.
Well, it's amazing to me. I mean, it's sad to me that a country that has never invaded or had any aggression against any of its neighboring countries is always the target of invaders. I mean, that, and I know that's true for many other places. And I think also of the warfare that's going on now, and I kind of compare it to what you wrote in your book and the experiences of people who are invaded is pretty awful.
Yes, it is a historic fact that most of Europe has gone through this. America, of course, has been very lucky, and in a way, you'd almost say that England has also managed to stay away from the worst of it. But there's the small countries. Actually, I was thinking about Melania Trump when she, when I first heard of her and saw her. She comes from a small country, and her country was also invaded by the Russians. So if you scratch anybody in America, and you will find somebody who has either been invaded by the Russians or the Germans or by some other large occupier who's treated them badly.
Wow.
However, we are very lucky to be in America.
Yes, that is true. It's unfortunate that America is, it has been one of those invaders, whether they've been using some other country to do the invading. It's very unfortunate. I hate to admit that the United States is currently bombing Syria and, killing children and killing everybody. So I don't know. It's pretty sad. So,
well, you could say that history repeats itself constantly. And this is one of the goals I have about writing my book, is to let people know that be informed. Ignorance is possibly the greatest sin of all. If everybody really understood communism and knew what it was all about, we would now, people say communism is cool. Well, I don't think so. If they had to look at the history, and I could tell you a lot of things about communism which actually it would put people off if they knew about it, but they don't. And that's the tragedy of our education and politics, I guess.
Right. Well, we most of us have grown up and been educated in government schools, and they, it's pretty biased education, and they do conceal history, particularly history, and which is very sad. What are some of those things about communism that would?
Pardon?
What are some of those things that you mentioned that if you could talk to people and tell them what communism really is, that they would be put off? What are some of those things?
Well, first of all, the reason why we fled Estonia to begin with was because the Russians, the Soviets, were wanted to let's start from the beginning. It started with the when Germany declared war. and Russia, and of course the Russians and the Germans had already more or less had some notions of their own. So then came along the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact of 1939, which actually came after the declaration of war. Now, Hitler and Stalin in 1939, in August, signed a non-aggression pact not to attack each other. And that included a secret protocol, which they agreed to divide the Baltic states, parts of Poland and areas like in around there between themselves. And we were assigned to the Soviet sphere of influence, also Finland, which later was dropped. The Russians were then allowed to build their bases in Estonia on the coast, but instead they occupied the country and began the mass murders and deportations to Siberia. There were crimes that have not yet been recognized, and the criminals were never punished by the free world. Nor has the world admitted that Hitler and Stalin were both the greatest criminals of the 20th century, not just Hitler alone. And I think this is really which stamps the Soviet Union into our history right now. An example, now Estonia's never had more than 1 million people. Well, it has...
Oh my gosh!
A little bit more than 1 million, but it's always been a tiny little country. Now, when the Russians first came in 1940, 60,000 people out of that million perished during 1 year of Russian occupation. So you can imagine that when the Russians, actually the Germans were chasing the Russians at this point, and they came and chased them across Estonia, which happened to be in their way. Basically, what it was the battleground. So they came through Estonia, and when they arrived in Estonia, the Russians had to cease the deportations for a while because they were being chased out. So the Estonians used this opportunity to flee and to get away from the Russians. So a huge, huge exodus began in 1944 when we found out that the Russians were coming back. We knew they would continue to deport, and so that is why anybody who could fled to the West. And so that is why my mother, my grandmother and I had to flee. It was our only chance. And so the three of us, my father, who was an actor, and my mother and grandmother lived in the theater in London, in Tallinn. My father remained behind, and the three of us packed in total panic, and we fled on the 23rd of September, 1944, right just ahead of the Russian tanks, which had already arrived in Estonia.
Now, did you said that the Russians and the Germans used Estonia as a battleground. Which were the Estonians most afraid of, and how did the Russians treat the Estonian women?
Well, the Russians, we had no reason to be especially afraid of the Russians because before the war, because they were our neighbors. And they had also occupied Estonia for a while. And as for the Germans, the Baltic Germans had occupied Estonia on and off for about 800 years. We've also been occupied by the Swedes, the Danes, all the neighbors, Poles, Lithuanians, whatever. Not for long periods of time, but intermittently. And it was the 1944 deportations which got people really riled up and afraid. And because of the mass murders, then we began to really understand what it meant to be under the Soviets. And that's why we were afraid.
So they were... You mentioned that they killed 60,000 people?
Yes, that was just 1 year. So that was enough to get people people's attention that this was not just our neighbors. These people were coming there to kill us. It was like genocide. Nobody has believed this. And the awful part of it is that although all of this is known and it's documented, the West has not recognized what happened to the Baltic states to this day. And this is the one of the anomalies, really, about the Second World War, is that we all know what happened to the what the Nazis did, but nobody has yet thought of persecuting the criminals that the communists all admit that Hitler and Stalin were both the worst mass killers of the 20th century.
Well, that's what what we've been trained in our government schools.
Well, this is the tragedy, because if everybody was actually aware that the Germans, the Nazis, and the communists were on par, then we would not even currently have people thinking that communism is cool, which unfortunately right now I think is on the news or whatever, the demonstrations. I saw some communists there. People think this is cool to be a communist. If they had any idea what concentration camps or the gulags, there was not that much difference. It depends on, are you killed instantly or are you killed freeze to death in the snow?
Wow. Well, the gulags. So they were deporting people to the gulags in Russia, in the Soviet Union, and killing people. And you're right. The West has not said anything about what the Soviets did. Not a word. Not a word. They put
That's
most
right.
of. And, wow. So just to get up and just leave everything must have been
We had to. Of course, I was only seven, so my book is it's really my story as a child of seven. I did not understand a lot of what was going on, but I was right there. And I more or less documented what I saw and I felt and I saw around me. And this is really basically the book itself. It's just how one day, you know, one moment everything is fine, and then all of a sudden my mother, who was a well-known actress, and my father were always coming for a visit, and they were all dressed up and everybody was happy, and all of a sudden everything's changed. I used to watch the people on the promenade and they disappeared, and I began to hear people whispering, and then next thing I know they were putting on curtains, dark blankets over the windows.
Oh,
and then I began to hear thunder in the night, that sort of thing, and it wasn't thunder. And then I saw snow falling, and it turned out it was ash, that kind of thing. And, of course, my mother and grandmother were whispering in the kitchen most of the time, and my mother came home from the theater. She'd left the theater. And she was. They were all in a total panic, throwing clothes into blankets, picking up what they thought they would need. And my grandmother was packing and throwing open the drawers, and picking out photographs and papers, and everybody was ignoring me more or less, but I was also watching out of the window at all the people going by carrying the baggage and
wow.
Anyway, go forth.
Okay, we're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Okay, super.
Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website, GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Ellen Gottschalk. She is the author of Into Exile, A Life Story of War and Peace. And you seem to have had a wonderful childhood. I love how you talked about your grandma in the front room and going visiting the cemetery and your mother's visits and the piano so you did have up until the age of 7, you seemed to have a very ideal childhood, and then all heck broke loose.
Yes, it was an idyllic life in a way, because I was in a situation where I was brought up by two old ladies, both of them artists. My grandmother was a painter. She was trained in the Helsinki Ateneum. And my aunt, she was a widow. She's the widow of the Estonian national poet, Ernst Enno, very, very well known also in Europe anyway. And my mother and father, as I mentioned, were in the theater in Tallinn, so after I was born, I was given to my grandmother, and she lived then in Haapsalu, a spa town on the coast, with her older sister, who was a pianist, and so we lived very harmoniously to the sounds of Beethoven and Bach and all the great composers, because my aunt was constantly, she had piano pupils and was also rehearsing for her Sunday concerts at the Kursaal, a kind of a cafe and a spa town. And so my grandmother, wanting to do her art painting and write poetry, had me write beside her the whole time. I never knew she was teaching me how to read and write. All she said was, write a poem. And so we wrote a poem, and then we drew a picture, and then when my aunt had pupils, or she wanted to do her rehearsals, she didn't want us to be around in case I interrupted them. So we would go for long walks around the spa town, which was full of lagoons, and then we went to my grandfather's statue and sat there, and
It's very tall. The statue is very tall.
It was a little tiny little town.
Wow.
But it was on the coast. It was a peninsula with lots of lagoons and waterways.
But the statue was very tall.
Oh, yeah, well, it's pretty tall, yes.
Yes.
It was basically concrete, and then there was a bronze bust on the top.
Wow.
That was looking out to sea. So my grandpa, I called him my black grandpa because he was dark, bronze. He was always staring out to sea, and I used to wonder what he was looking at. And then my grandmother would talk to him about what was going on in the house. We had this and that, and the visitors came, and so and so and so and so. And I had this impression that he was listening, and that my grandmother was telling him about our life and our daily life, what was happening. And I had the impression that he not only was listening, but was a little impatient and was looking above us, more as if to say, well, yeah, right, but I've got other things on my mind. But it was definitely a family moment. And then we would go to his grave and rake there, and she would talk to all her friends in the cemetery. I got the impression we had more friends in the cemetery than we actually had at home. We never saw them, but these never argued either. They never spoke back.
Yeah, that's true.
And they took everything in their stride, and sometimes if you stepped on their heads or the grave, they didn't grumble. It was a homely kind of situation. And I was always with my grandmother, because my aunt was very, very busy. She did all the housework, all the cooking, everything around the house, and wanted to quickly get back to her piano. So every day was just with my grandmother, who got me up. And then at night she would read me from my grandfather's books, poetry, and somewhat boring if there was no pictures. But then she also read me the Bible, Jesus' young days, beginning with the Genesis. And
okay.
So it was my cat. I also had a cat, and my cat would be also listening, and we would both be enthralled by the sound of my grandmother's voice, who didn't understand half of what she was saying.
We do have a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get 2. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Ellen Gottschalk, and she's the author of Into Exile, A Life Story of War and Peace. And you were telling us about your cat. I'm sorry we had to go to a break. But, hey, breaks are good. But you were telling us about the cat. You had a cat. And your grandmother read to you every night. That is great. Now, tell us again why your parents weren't... Why your grandmother was raising you?
Why my grandfather was reading to me?
Why your grandmother was raising you instead of your mom and dad?
The reason, I'm sorry. My grandmother was raising me because when I was born, my mother and my father were actors and they lived in the theater. Unlike maybe in the West, in Estonia, the actors lived in the dressing rooms. And then when I was born, obviously they couldn't keep me past the summer season when I was born in July. So when the new theater season began, they gave me to my grandmother almost immediately, actually.
Did you have any siblings?
And her diorama. Pardon?
Did you have any siblings?
No, none whatsoever.
Okay.
It was just me, the three of us. There was just me and the two old ladies. and the cat.
Okay. And now your aunt, it was your mother, your grandmother's sister?
Yes.
Okay. And she gave piano lessons?
Yes, she gave piano lessons, and she actually had built the house for us. She said that the poet's family were all being artistic, and artists were totally unable, so that they would have a place to over their heads when they got old, because it was so impractical that she felt that she needed to take care of our future. So she started to build this house, and she did build it, but she didn't quite finish it because she wanted to buy herself a piano. So we had no front steps and didn't glass in the veranda either, and the pupils came in through the back door. It was a kind of a bohemian type of household, and it was wonderful because there was no real discipline. My grandmother always knew how to discipline me without actually saying anything. She had an amazing way of explaining the world to me, even later when during the war and during all the horrors. For instance, when we were having really a terrible time in Berlin during the war, and bombs were raining down, and we were lying on the ground and thinking we were going to die. I sometimes ask grandmother, I says, why are we having to go through all of this? And because she'd been reading the Bible to me, she said, well, we're like the Israelites fleeing to the promised land. And so I figured, well, we'll get there eventually. So once in a while, I'd say, are we there yet? And we thought it was going to be England, but it didn't turn out to be that way. But anyway, that's where we ended up.
You ended up in England, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. But you had to go through warfare.
We had to go through camps.
Pardon me?
DP camps. We had to go through, well, after the war, we still went, we had to go to through DP camps, displaced persons camps.
Right.
Yeah. And the reason the best thing about the fact that when the war ended, like everybody else went back to their countries, but we could not. We were the Soviets were the ones, because of that secret protocol that I mentioned earlier. The Russians were able to keep the Baltic states, and this decision was reiterated in Yalta in 1945 after the war, when Roosevelt and Churchill and Stalin were discussing who would keep what, and Stalin was able to keep the Estonia, the Baltic states, and all the countries that had been ceded to him earlier under the protocol, Churchill and Roosevelt agreed, and there are a lot of rumors going about, because it was possibly Churchill's tea time and 4 o'clock, and he didn't have time to really think of what was going on, and Roosevelt wasn't feeling good. And so
they sold out
we
to
ended
the communists.
Up being the only country that pardon
they sold out
we
to
were the
communists.
Only country.
Go ahead.
Stalin then took our countries and closed them up behind the Iron Curtain for the next 50 years.
Wow. Well,
and we ended up we were ended up in DP camps, displaced persons camps in Germany, and were then dispersed throughout the world from the different zones. And we happened to be in the English zone, so we were able to go to England, and other people were in the American zone, and they ended up in America and so forth. There were five zones.
Where were these zones exactly? I mean, how did you have? Did every? How many people left Estonia? Were there? Were the
about 90,000? Yes, it's very hard to say, because what happened was that we actually went to the beach, and my mother was able to get a small fishing boat, And she paid some silver. She got us a place in a small fishing boat. The whole beach was full of people, and everybody was trying to get into small boats to go to Sweden. The idea was to get to Sweden. And we had no intention of going to Germany. But when we set off, actually, I'll tell you this last, after my last look at Estonia, was when we were in the boat already, and the beach was completely covered with people's belongings. Things like, you know, children's pushchairs, prams, carts, clothing, open suitcases, even furniture which people had carried to the beach and then realized they couldn't take it with them in the small boat. And there was an old lady sitting on a mattress holding a clock. And that still stays in my mind because it looked like she wouldn't leave without the clock. And so she was left behind. And then we were all in the fishing boats, and then, of course, once we were at sea, people started to get seasick and were taking in water. And when we were in the ship, in the boat, when it got dark and it was scary and I was holding on to my grandmother's coat, and my mother was out front with the men, and then a big wall came between us and we didn't know what it was, but of course I didn't know what it was either until we realized that someone shouted down and it was a big ship, a Polish freighter, and they said that they would take us aboard.
Wow.
But somebody had to, whoever wanted to go aboard needs to climb a rope ladder. And nobody wanted to. The ship's, you know, the ship was moving and practically running into us, and we were moving and so, but they threw down a ladder, and my mother actually jumped from our boat to the ladder. The men kind of caught the ladder and held it, but my mother jumped onto the ladder and was hauled up to the freighter. And then she asked the captain that she had a mother and a child in the boat, and she wanted them to be brought over into the ship as well. And so then they eventually, they dropped a fishnet with a big box in it down towards the boat. But then, to me, I was already upset having seen all this goings on, and I was looking for my grandmother, and suddenly she disappeared. And then I realized I saw her getting into this box in the net and being hauled up to the ship. And I became hysterical because I thought she had left us, and I was going to be going to Sweden with all these strangers. And anyway, as it turned out, they sent the box back for me and the bundles, and we were also hauled into the freighter, and we were the only ones who left that boat, so I have no idea what happened to those other people. The freighter was empty, and it smelled terrible. It was completely full of manure. The Polish freighter had come from somewhere in Africa with animals, and so there's animal manure, and it was just awful. And then we continued in that freighter, and instead of going to Sweden, we were being taken to Poland. And we arrived in Gdansk at that time.
Wow.
2 days later.
Okay.
And of course we were torpedoed, and fired upon by the planes, and a lot of ships sank, and we took on some of the survivors, and that's how our ship also became full of survivors. They sent the same net down into the sea and picked all these people, picked them all up, and then brought them out of the water, so, and then dumped them on the deck like fish, and then people just climbed out of the net. And of course I was interested. I didn't know what was going on, except I was watching the waves going back and forth with people floating and things floating by. And And then when the net was opened and there was a woman climbing out of the net, I saw she had a baby on her back, but the baby was dead. And I wanted to go and tell her, excuse me, your baby's dead. And my grandmother got hold of me in time and said, it's time to go down into the hold and read some more from my book, which we did.
Oh, dear.
And then, of course, the people came down below and were in terrible state. It was a very, very terrible terrible occasion. We were actually in a convoy, and then when we passed Latvia, we saw the fire, and the whole beach was on fire, and everybody gathered on deck, and then slowly some people began to sing first the national anthem, the Estonian national anthem, and then the Latvian national anthem, and then the Polish national anthem. And while and everybody stood to attention while we looked at the horizon, which was on fire, and that was Latvia.
Wow! And what caused it to be burning? The bombs?
Well, the Allies were bombing. You see, because Poland was under Germany, so basically we were being bombed by the Allies, the Russians. Russians mainly, because they were so close to Russia. And a lot of ships went down, and a lot of people were killed.
Wow.
And so we don't know how many people fled. Getting back to your original question, we just assume that by 1952, if you haven't heard from somebody, they were probably dead.
Wow.
So the Danzig had millions of people. On the dock, ships were coming from everywhere, and they were all they all landed in Danzig, and the refugees just poured out of them. And there was a recent bombing, so half of the Danzig harbor was burning, and there were all twisted metal and girders and cranes and ships. And thousands of millions, I don't know, it seemed like millions. Now, I've read the statistics, yes, there were millions in Danzig trying to get away from the harbor. And so we got into, there were trains, and the German guards were, of course, trying to herd everybody very, very correctly into different groups, and they had absolutely no order there whatsoever, and they had no control.
Right.
And the trains were being filled up with people just pushing each other into the trains, and children were being handed through the windows, and then the train was so packed, and the trains went to Berlin.
Wow. So then
we had no choice where we were going. We just had no choice. We just went wherever the trains went.
Sure. So you ended up in Berlin, and then how long were you there, and what happened during that period?
Well, in Germany at that time, you couldn't just get on a train or go somewhere where you wanted to. My mother already decided that it was easier for her to move without the two of us, because we were a bit of a liability. And so she left us in a doorway somewhere, and she went to find out where she could get us to move along, and apparently then she came back very triumphantly sometime later with some tickets and food rations and a ration card and a permit to go leave for Berlin to arrive on the 3rd of October, I believe it was something. Everything had to be documented. And the guards were constantly going around saying, papira, papira, papers, papers, because nobody was paying any attention. And then we got into the train, and we were going now with papers. We had documents to go to Berlin. And the trains were mostly full of soldiers, wounded soldiers from all over Europe. There were Russian soldiers and German soldiers, defectors, and the workers from the different camps. And the Russians, it was known that if the Russians had been captured and were then going to go back to Russia, they would be instantly killed, because
right.
The Russians did not want the people inland to know that Europe was a civilized country. And these people would then, of course, give away the secret that we were not illiterates and starving to death.
Right.
So they were all killed, so everybody was afraid, and most of the soldiers were hiding their faces under bandages, so nobody would know who they were.
Sure. Wow. So you arrived by train in Berlin, and How long were you there?
Well, we had permission to go. Well, first of all, my mother, we were on the train. We had just barely arrived, and we were on the train platform when all of a sudden my mother heard her name being called. Believe
really?
It or not, right in the middle of building. I know. And there was one of her friends from Harpsal, the one who had, whose mother had actually birthed me, who was the midwife who had
right.
birthed me, and were her good friends. And they were there on the platform with a pram. One of the sisters, there were three sisters, and one of them had given birth just then, so they couldn't. They had to flee by pushing the pram from Estonia. And they had arrived in Berlin, and the pram, I know, isn't it? Very amazing. The pram was still there, and then I wanted to see the new baby, and I looked in, and there was no baby, just parcels. And there was, then the train was coming, and the other sister, the business-like sister, said, come with us to Eindhoven in Holland, because I've
okay.
got a job there.
Ellen, we do have a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Shock, She is the author of Into Exile, A Life Story of War and Peace. And we have about 3 or 4 minutes until the top of the hour break. It is just amazing that your mother's friend found her.
Yes, it was incredible. The baby had died on the way, the newborn, and so apparently, Hilda said, "Well, why don't you come with us to Holland?" But it was impossible to do that because you had to have a permit to get on a train, and then to get on that train. She would have had to first get the permit, and because they didn't know where they were going either, how could she go to Holland and start looking for them? It just didn't make sense. So the woman said, look, the train is coming. Here's an address for you. There was a very nice German who helped us bury the baby, and he said his wife was a very nice lady, Christian, and go and look her up and tell her that her husband sends greetings, and maybe she will put you up for a few days.
Wow.
And so... and then before she got on the train, she also gave my mother a slip of paper with Philips Electrical address in Berlin. Although Philips was under the Germans, there was still a chance to get a job there because mother had worked for Philips for a while. So anyway, we went to look for this lady. They went off to Holland, and we went to look for this lady in a side town called Bernau outside Berlin. And when we got there, however, the lady wasn't very happy to see us, I'll put it that way. And because we
what
were
happened to your father?
Well, my father stayed behind because I was told that he had missed the last train. And so he stayed behind. There were other reasons too, but I won't go into that right now. And never mind. So anyway, we got there, and the lady was very nasty, but she said, you can stay for one night. And she put us into a room where there was a bed, and of course my grandmother and mother slept on the floor, and they put me on the bed. Now, throughout this whole journey, I had wet my pants at least, I don't know how many times, because there was nowhere to go to the toilet, there was nowhere to wash, we're still wearing the same clothes after all the couple of weeks. And so when the lady came back in there, she didn't give us water, we had no way of washing. And when she came in the morning and she saw that I was so dirty in her bed, she nearly went berserk and told us to clear out. Well, my mother, being the actress that she was, put on her very best face and, gnädige Frau, please just let them stay one more night. I have a chance to get a job in Philips in Berlin. I can't take them with me. And so she said, all right.
Okay. We're at the top of the hour. We will be back in 3 minutes.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the report.